a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell. A wild day in the world of sports is yesterday it was the Ivy League that said they're going to cancel all their, or at least push all their sports to a different time of year for this year. And the Big Ten today saying that they are going to move their schedules to a conference-only model for this fall, which affects BYU immediately because they had a game scheduled against Michigan State for the second week of the season. So here's the deal. But it just feels, I'm honestly like a little bit depressed about this. Like, this is before we knew the news, like about the Big Ten.
Well, we felt like June 1st, like they were going to let students back on.
They were already doing it.
And then they created this whole like plan to work to, you know, let the students kind of go through this 6-week program. And it looked like it was going to be an on-time start. And then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, an uptick in positive cases happened in some significant parts of the country, and it was dramatic. It was a dramatic increase, and it's just we just don't know anything, and I don't think we've ever known anything, and I still don't think we know anything, and I don't think we know when this is going to end, when it's going to kind of hit its you know high water mark, and what happens in the meantime, and by congregating massive groups of people together, what does that do? And I think people don't know. I just don't. And
I think we're all wondering what it's going to look like. I mean, the reality is that could the entire football season be put on pause and be sent to the spring? Then you start to talk about what it looks like with all these players.
How do you have spring and then fall football? You tell guys to
play 18 games in 10 months.
I mean,
11
for
months.
Me, it was like you needed the offseason to recover.
I know,
and then there would,
and I know we're trying to adjust. And how would everything be magically okay next year, next spring?
Yeah,
you know, and like the idea of getting everybody back together and hey, we're all good now, right? I mean, everything's good now. False alarm. I don't know what we're saying. I mean, like
you wonder when you get to a point when it's all over, Alex, and you go.
What did we do right and what did we do wrong?
Are you sure? I mean, I think you'd always be looking over your shoulder.
Yeah.
Going, is it going to, you know, and I think everyone's, you know, this, I think this panic, you know, this,
May the 2-minute drill save us from ourselves feeling just down in the dumps about it all. Scott, what's the 2-minute drill? Everybody's tuning in.
The 2-minute drill is when you hurry at the end of the game because you got to go down and score quickly. You don't have a lot of time, so you talk fast. In our show, we have a lot to talk about, but not a lot of time to talk about it. So we talk a little bit about a lot
there
of things,
go.
And we finish the show and win the day.
Your guy, J.J. Watt, I've made him your guy, okay?
He's my guy.
He's your guy.
He can be my guy.
J.J. Watt has said
been
that
injured
if they,
a lot, though.
And I didn't know what the – I don't know. I've seen different iterations of what this looks like, but one of the discussions that the NFL's had, and everything has to go through the Players Association and everything, but J.J. Watt says he likely will not play this season if the NFL puts certain rules into place, including the The full face mask, the face shield that would be inside of the so it'd be a visor that basically went down the full length of the of the face mask.
Well, J.J. Watt hasn't played a full season anyways for quite a while, so I don't know how this would be any different for him anyway. But I do know that as a player, you're used to things a certain way. And there are just certain things like, it's like...
Your helmet looks a certain way. You have a certain face mask on.
Feels a certain way.
Buckles are away. Yes.
And so I get this whole idea about a face shield. I can tell you for me, I'd be nervous about something getting on it like water. You know how you have, you know, like you get in a rainstorm and your windshield wipers don't work?
Yeah,
That would concern me because I sweat a lot.
It'd be dripping
and
mid play,
and they could do all these things.
There's a lot of players that do. There are a lot of players that play with the visor on,
right?
But I think that
for
there
a
are,
good cause. I mean,
sure.
If you've ever been poked in the eye with a finger, it is the most painful thing in the world, and that's what it's all for. It's just to protect your face. And guys will either accidentally or intentionally try to poke
right.
you.
Right. But I'm saying it would be markedly different if it's in front of your mouth. I think that this thing would be, it would fog up a ton.
Claustrophobic.
I would be
claustrophobic.
How about yelling out calls on the line and it echoes back into your face? It's not as loud. All these things.
It would be so,
then you have to wipe the inside. I can't imagine what that would look like, but I mean, if that's the discussion that you have in the NFL, you've got bigger problems. I guarantee that that's the least of their concerns.
Well, you know, when you have a diving mask, you just spit on it, and then
you rub it off.
Yeah, so it doesn't fog up anymore. Of course, you can't spit, because then you're going to spread the virus. So,
it's a deal.
Someone needs to come up with an antibacterial spit.
Speaking of...
a defogging spit. That's what they need.
Oh my goodness. And you know, somebody's already like in some lab trying to figure it out. Yeah. I think that the players could put on their hand to wipe on the inside of the thing to be an anti-fogging agent or something. All right. Speaking of the NFL, one thing that they're not going to be able to do next year is swap jerseys. So, because you know, you've been playing and tackling each other all game. Heaven forbid you hand a jersey over to another person. But I think this feels like to me, the NFL banning jersey swaps at the end of the game feels like such a weird stretch that they're like grasping at for like ways to look like they're being safe. The reality is the nature of the sport itself is way worse than the idea of swapping jerseys. And the NFL players are calling the league hypocrites because of it anyway, because they're like, okay, this is the thing that's going to keep us safe.
You can go play the game and you can run over each other and have all this contact.
Don't exchange the
jersey.
But
at the end of the day, don't. I mean, take the jersey with a pair of like, you know, surgical gloves and and put it in a plastic bag and go have it washed or something before you ever touch it. I mean, there's a way to keep it sanitary. I'm just sad that I missed this era of jersey swapping. I mean, there's so many guys I wished I had swapped jerseys with or got their jersey when I played. Hundreds of guys that I would have loved to have had a jersey of. Loved it. And but we were in a day when no one kind of shook hands. It's like, meh.
Yeah, I hate that I just lost to you and I don't like you.
Yeah.
And I might like you if we end up playing together at some point, but even then, probably not.
Yeah. Or pretend I like you.
It's interesting. I just think that if the NFL is acting like that rule is going to keep somebody safe, they are absolutely fooling themselves. It's a fake thing. It's a visual that is. I mean, I guess what they're saying is they don't want to see it on TV of the players walking over, hugging each other, handing a jersey to one another with their helmets off, and blah blah blah. I'm trying to figure out like what's the sideline look like then. What does the sideline look like?
They'll have little dots, and they'll be 6 feet apart. And everyone will stand on.
Are the misting machines going to have antibacterial spray in them? Is that what's going to be going on?
Yeah, the NFL does. There's not many guys on a sideline on an NFL team. There's lots of room there. College is a different story, but in the NFL, I wouldn't be surprised if colleges at home games actually keep a minimum of people on the sideline. If the NFL is going to say wear a shield, don't swap jerseys, and they haven't talked anything about like changing the schedule, delaying the schedule, I'm okay with it. I'm okay. You have your shield. You don't swap your jersey. You just keep playing games. I don't care.
If they can play the games,
they can play the games,
make those dumb rules
up. Make all the dumb rules you want.
All right. 57500 is the text number. Hey, that's the end of the show. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you tomorrow again on another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. See you then, everybody.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.